Okay, today we talk about the relationship between siblings. We know that the relationship in the family among siblings because sometimes it can be very good, sometimes it could be pain, hurts. If you are the only child, so even if you are a single child, so we will see our cousins as our siblings. So the Bible also talks about the relationship of our siblings to teach us the relationship between brethren. God also cares about the relationship of between siblings. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It talks about two countries, Edom and Israel. So they came out from Jacob and Esau. They are very... Of course, there were a lot of wars and hatred, and God is not pleased with them. When you talk about Edom, when God wants to judge Edom, and it's particularly harsh, because it's not because they have violence against Israel, whom God loves, and there's unrighteousness. Israel is actually the brother, younger brother of Edom, although they are like different nations. Because of this, God judged Edom especially harshly. Now there's no such nation. God does not like this kind of relationship. So when there are friction between siblings, and of course this love between siblings is something God watches over. In our family, if there are problems between the siblings, we need to deal with them, we need to pray for them. It's something that will bother us, it will affect our happiness. So God is willing for us to restore the proper sibling relationship. How do we deal with this? There are a few things. As we grow up together, siblings, there will be areas where we will become more and more different. But how do we love one another? What's the best way? So it is coming from how the relationship between brethren in the church. I will talk about this. So let's look at the first point. They should take care for each other. Genesis, siblings should take care of each other and watch over each other. It's quite a negative example, but let's look at this. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. So this is the first murder. So chapter 4 verse 9. So where is your brother? This is a lie. Am I my brother's keeper? He has already twisted the facts. Am I my brother's keeper? God is very clearly look for him. He said to him, God spoke to him directly, where is your brother Abel? Where is he? Where is your brother Abel? A voice of judgment came to him. It was not so harsh. When the person is too harsh, when God questioned, so that he knows to convict him of his sin. But he denied the sin. He denied he is my brother's keeper. Abel actually should also care for him. Such a relationship. So something happened to him. In the human history, we all know how did he come to this state? Because as we grow up, there will be more differences. In the process of growing up, actually, the differences will become more obvious. They will start to grow apart as well. This is a reality. As we grow up, they will learn new things. And hormones come in, and in the process of growing, and we go through different crises. So you also fall in love, and then all these experiences shape us as a person, and we all have our own very subjective experience, and the things that we like.
So they start to learn from school life, and they learn from many things. So suddenly they will feel like, they will sense that certain people prefer this sibling to another sibling. So through many things, such things appeared. So when we talk about studies, some siblings, they can get into university and they enter into society, and all this come with challenges. And so each sibling will have their own life. And so some people, even they go to church, they also go to different churches. For me, I have a sister. So when she went overseas for her studies, and when I observe from the side, we have this very amazing relationship. Because when she went overseas, she would spend more money. So she also feels uneasy. So she doesn't want to spend too much overseas. So she is very thrifty. So after many years, then I realized that. And because she learned the piano, so she bought more expensive stuff, so there's some imbalance. But over time, she started to realize, why must I be so tough? So the relationship between siblings happened in such ways. So if the siblings grow together, but if we do not accept that there is God's sovereignty in everything, then slowly you will realize that there will be a series of conflicts. Perhaps in good relationship is you have your own life, you have what you want on earth, and then you are satisfied. You have your own satisfaction, I have my own contentment. But if you didn't get anything you want, then you start to have this rivalry and jealousy. So, when you have your boyfriend, girlfriend, and you set up your own family unit, and then you have, you start to drift apart from your siblings. So, maybe it gets into a very shallow sibling relationship. So sometimes you need to come out to eat and dine with each other more. So in the Bible, if you remember, there is this person, Judah. He had two sons born by Tamar. Tamar was a daughter-in-law at first to Judah, but then later she ended up with her father-in-law, and then so she gave birth to two sons. So Perez and the other son. So they are twins. So Zira is the other son. But although Zira is very blessed, he's not mentioned too much in the genealogy in the Bible, but Perez belongs to the line of Judah and is part of the genealogy of Jesus' ancestors. And so Peter and Andrew, they are brothers, but yet Peter, James and John, they are closer to Jesus. So this is something very real, that siblings may not be closer to each other. So when we look at the genealogy of Jesus, sometimes the elders, the firstborn, should receive the greatest respect. But amazingly, because the Bible aims to exalt Jesus, so we will see that sometimes the younger brother was escalated to receive the firstborn, the rights of the firstborn, the birthrights. And so we have Isaac and Ishmael and Jacob and Esau. So there's a lot of such examples. So if you think about it, the relationship between siblings, what purpose does it serve? So there's many such cases. So if you didn't deal with it, and if you do not know God's sovereignty, then there will be problems. So today we want to think about the sibling relationship and God's sovereignty. So if we do not know God's sovereignty, then we will drift away from our siblings, so there will be certain wounds and certain divisions that may happen between the siblings. And second, because of sin, there may be certain vicious cycle. So I'll give you more examples. And all these are in the Bible. For example, Moses, Aaron and Miriam, they were all siblings, and Aaron was the elder brother of Moses, and Miriam was the eldest sister. Miriam should be much older than Moses, because when Moses was put into the water, his sister was standing by to look on. So as his elder sisters, if you have a younger brother, she will take very good care of the younger brother. So the elder sister was looking on when Moses was being put into the sea, into the waters. So they have that kinship. But as they grew up, very amazing. Once Miriam and Aaron came to look for Moses, and told him, you are not holy because your wife is from a foreign descent. It's not from the Israelites. So Miriam and Aaron said, why is it that God only talked to you? So there's some resentment toward him. But Moses didn't directly confront them. And then God corrected this incident. So although there seems to be some tension in their relationship, but after God corrected their relationship, it's okay. So when we talk about sibling relationship, if you didn't deal well with this, it will become sibling rivalry. So sometimes in the family, there will be certain favoritism or similar things, especially between Jacob was very biased toward Joseph, and Joseph also dreamed about God's promise, and he also proudly shared the dreams with his brothers. So Joseph's brothers was so angry, but Jacob loved Joseph so much, and that was also not right because favoritism of the parents and only like one of the children, this is not good. But sometimes it's very hard to hide the favoritism. And God permitted all these things, but we have to understand that if you do not deal with all these sibling affairs, then there will be certain jealousy, envy, lies, hypocrisy. And you cannot speak well with each other, and certain things will happen. So usually that's the case. And if there's someone who's seen in the church, then God will discipline the whole church. And when you discipline together, then the one who has not done anything wrong will feel unfair. So such things will happen. But this is reality. But God also permit this to tell us that every one of us, we are weak. So if we do not understand this and do not go back to the gospel, then we cannot find any answer. And then we will have more and more conflicts. And so in terms of the sibling relationship, we may go the wrong way and we may have enmity against each other. Sometimes when I went to certain funeral weeks, they will say, you Christians, you are not bad. But then they see other people. They even have fights among the siblings. Many years of resentment just got exploded at the funeral week. And so sometimes there's even bloodshed and police were being caught. So such things happen. There are things that concerns inheritance and so on. So if we have the harmony in the family, we must give thanks. So when the resentment happened, something amazing also happened. So when God rebuked Cain, Cain put the blame on his brother, Abel. And so he thought that he is righteous. So he blamed his brother. And so Cain think that Abel should be helping me, should be my closest friend or sibling, but not because of you that caused my life to be terrible, to be very miserable. So Cain pushed the responsibility to Abel, his brother. So he think that Abel should be his keeper. But in fact, Cain should also be Abel's keeper. They should keep each other. They should keep each other in the watch. But when sin comes, this is not the case. So Genesis chapter 4 verse 7, if you do what is right, so God told Cain, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? So God is not comforting Cain. God wants Cain to know his sin, so that he can understand that your sin there is sin in you, you must not continue to let this sin remain in your heart. So God said, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, meaning to say there will be punishment. But now there's a very serious thing, that is, sin is in his heart. And so he allowed himself to be manipulated by the sin. And so this is Cain's problem. So how can man have the power to resist sin? So we need the power. So the relationship between siblings, you must think of how can we give in to each other, how can we live in harmony together. So you can make up to each other. If you do not know each other, you can just only make up to each other, but one day something will happen to explode things, or otherwise you will drift apart. You know, once in a blue moon you just meet up. But there's no sibling relationship. But in the gospel, because there's forgiveness of sins, then we can understand sin, then we can entrust everything to God. And here verse 7 continues to say, sin desires to have you, but you must master it. So some interpreter of the Bible says that if sin has come to you, you must have the responsibility to resist sin. Is this right? It is nothing wrong, but you must think about how is it possible for unregenerated men, how can we restrain sin? People who are not born again, how can we restrain sin? So here this verse is telling us that sin has been magnified. So God is trying to say that if sin is so obvious, do you still want to let sin rule over you? So sin has been manipulating Cain, and so he keep on resenting his sibling. So God is actually helping Cain, it's not judging him. Do not just view God as being very harsh and cruel, because this thing will get out of hand unless God quickly intervenes. But over here, we read verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So here it says, Cain pretends to talk to his brother Abel. So Cain pretended to be in harmony with the brother. So it's very hypocritical. So how can you trust someone who always lies? So usually, so false features will change here and there. But back to today's topic. So Cain suddenly was very nice to the brother. But suddenly he also totally became violent and killed his brother. So you do not just feel that it's alright between siblings. One day, if a situation suddenly arises, all the bitterness, all the quarrels, all the explosion will come, and you ask why. As you think back, things have been accumulating in a person's heart. So such matters cannot be left unresolved. So why will things get out of hand? So I want to bring some reasons out. So this can happen to Christians and non-Christians. So why do things get out of hand? So to Cain, that's because Cain could not receive the favor or reward of life. So the Bible tells us that if we receive favor, usually for the non-believers, they have been seeking for the wisdom of the earth and favor from the earth. But to those who belong to God, he will slowly realize that the world will not satisfy him. But if you cannot receive the favor from God, then he will not be happy. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. So here it says, that by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So let's try to understand this. Why do we say that faith itself is a gift of God? Let me explain. So in our whole life, we have been searching for things as we grow up. We have been searching for our self-worth, life direction, and in where we can excel. And between siblings, there will be certain comparison. If you are not so good, I feel good that I also feel good because I'm also not that good. But if you are too excellent, I feel I'm very unworthy in comparison to the sibling. And so sometimes we are not easily contented. So we humans, we keep wanting to search for life purpose and life favor, and where can this be found? So between siblings, if you want to have a good relationship, actually you need to think about why would there be conflicts. Actually, it all concerns about finding favor. So what does this faith mean? So when we talk about faith is you want to believe. But where does your faith come from? So you want to believe there is God. So, okay, you believe there is God. Then you open your eyes a while later, and then you seem to feel that there seems to be no God in the things that you have encountered. Between me and my siblings, there is God, but the God doesn't seem to be working, and that's why there's quarrels. So in the family, there is Christian and non-Christians. So some people say, you Christians, it's also useless. You also will have quarrels and bad testimonies. So people just keep looking at the outward circumstances. But where does faith come from? So it's halfway. Meaning, you believe in God and then you believe that God will reward. So you're willing to believe in God. But then you only have partial faith. Because for you to believe, you need God's word. The word of God tells you that you can believe there is a God, and that's why you believe. But on the other hand, you realize that God must give you the faith to enable you to believe. So because it's not so easy for you to believe. Many things happen, but you will still be inclined toward receiving God's word and receive conviction and press on to follow God. This is really the grace of God. So God's word and the favor he bestows then will come upon us. So unless a person has faith, he will not be able to please God. But how to believe? First is to believe that there is a God, and you must have the assurance that he will reward you. So how can you have such a faith? So the faith mentioned here is a form of favor. You receive this gift. Because it's not what you can do or you're better, and that's why God gives you the faith. That's not the case. It's also not the case where you are worthy, or it's not about you psychoing yourself, telling yourself that you have faith. So how can we come before God, our Father, unless we have the truth. Then we can come before God. Sometimes we will think, oh, we have done a lot, we have served a lot, and then surely God will accept me more. But you realize that this is human hard work. So sometimes when you have the effort, you feel you have the faith. But sometimes when you lack the effort, you also lose the faith. So the more you do, the more you realize you have to give up more, and so you lose the grace. So between Cain and Abel, why does the Bible mention their story? I believe that through this story, God is trying to tell us one thing. That is, if we want to receive faith, that is because we seek God for the purpose of asking God to save us. So in other words, God will surely reward those who seek Him. So what are you seeking for? You are seeking for God to save you from your troubles, to save you eternally. And then as you search for God in this way, then you can understand in your heart that the God whom you ask of will bless you, because Jesus has died on the cross to cleanse all my sin, and that's why I can come before God. And if I ask for salvation, He will give me. So I've spoken a lot. So I'm trying to highlight the gift of God. If you understand this mystery, so you know it's not about your own worth or your own actions, but if you receive this gift of God and you understand this, and when you understand this in your life, you will know that everything is planned by God. It's not by man. It's not what I've done. It's not my hard work to get anything. But when God gives, and I believe it, and I understand it, so faith is a form of understanding. So faith is a gift given us by God. Otherwise, we'll only be halfway through. You know, halfway you are seeking God, then halfway you lose it. You thought you have, but in the end you realize you don't have. So you cannot find it. So unless man has faith, he cannot please God. So here is trying to tell us that Abel, he had a faith. He also submitted to the Lord. And he submitted to the Lord in the sense that he truly believed in God, believed that God will reward him with the salvation he asked for. And because God will give him the salvation, will God also not give him everything else? The Bible also tells us this. So if God has already given you Jesus Christ, will God not give you everything? So after going through all things, even though you feel a bit aggrieved, you understand that God has a plan for everything. So let's take a look at another example, Esau. Another more obvious example of Esau. Why did he hate Jacob? Of course, Jacob deceived Esau of his birthrights. So roughly you know this story. But Esau, why did he abandon his birthrights and gave them over to his younger brother? Because he rather satisfied his physical cravings than to receive God's mercy. So what Esau wanted was not God's mercy and blessing, but what he wanted was earthly satisfaction. We know that in the family of Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Rebecca, and the family of Esau and Jacob, there's a lot of lies in this family. So the one who taught Jacob to deceive his brother was Jacob's and Esau's mother, Rebecca. So Rebecca helped to cook a very wonderful meal for Jacob to serve his father. And so Rebecca urged her son to bless her husband to give Jacob the blessing. But the mother never imagined that this lie would cause the elder brother to keep pursuing the life of the younger brother. So some Bible interpreter mentioned that once when Esau and Jacob, they hugged each other, Esau was about to kill him with a knife as they were hugging. So there was this very severe conflict and hatred between the brothers. But Esau, he didn't want God's mercy. So, if you read Romans chapter 9, we read about Esau and Jacob. So, Esau chapter 9 verse 12, God told Rebecca, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. So God already predestined. And verse 16, so then he depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. So it's not dependent on human, but on God. So God's election, God's mercy, and God's predestination. And when we talk about this, we talk about God's mercy. So it's all God's mercy. So whether you want to receive God's love or earthly things, so the Bible tells us about Esau. So he's craving for earthly things and he's full of his desires. So we must be careful of this because it's not beneficial to us and our family. So Jacob, he received God's love, but not by his own merits. But God wants to give mercy. So when we talk about God's election and sovereignty, and just now we talk about faith coming from where? So it all once again emphasized that in all our days of life, if we talk about sibling relationship, the most obvious thing is what? Actually, the parents always love us. So to the sibling, to friends, sometimes our friends see our sibling struggle. So siblings, we grow up together, so we know each other's affair. So some people, they really hate it when during Chinese New Year gatherings. So people always ask your house things between siblings, how much do you earn? So sometimes it's obvious that our earthly progression is different, and if you face it, so between siblings, there will be deep love, but there will also be tension. So, but when we talk about God's sovereignty, it's to highlight the fact that no one person, when we come to this world, none of us deserve it. And so whatever we receive is all God's gift and mercy. And when we can receive the salvation, that is the greatest gift and mercy of God. So as far as salvation is concerned, if you understand salvation, then if you understand God's sovereignty in all things and understand that God's sovereignty is your life, you know why God gives you the role give you the physical build, give you the opportunities and let you meet certain people. All these are God's design for you and plan for you. And when you understand all these things, then you can put down your heart of uncertainties and your resentment toward your siblings can be put down, because you know that in every situation that God is leading, there will be His God's plan. So in the Bible, even though you are being wounded in the family, or you are being despised in the family, sometimes you are being scolded by the elder brother and sister. So if you know God well, you may not be hurt also. A very good example is King David. He is the youngest in his family, and his father sometimes will forget about him. And once, when he's going to the battlefield, his brother told David that you come here. So the brother accused David of coming to the battlefield with an evil heart to show off. So there was this family culture, but David was not hurt. Instead, in his heart, David understood God's grace. So David was healed, and he's not hurt. So between siblings, we must seek out opportunities to show God's grace. That's the third point. So if there are believers in the family, non-believers in the family, we must pray that God allow the non-believing family members to have opportunity to know God's grace. But if there are Christians in the family, we must let God have the opportunity to show grace. And the grace that you receive may not be tangible, may not be the so-called good stuff. It could be faith. Because if your faith can grow, if you can receive faith, this is the most wonderful thing. If you can find faith in the Lord, this is the gift of life. And you realize that God's mercy on you is more satisfying than anything else. I realize that in my life, we have done wrong and committed sin in many areas, but if you truly understand God's mercy, you'll be liberated. You can even find a way that when people committed wrong and they repented, we will give them more grace. So in the church, we also try to learn this. The relationship between brethren in the church. Sometimes we also, in the church, we find children who grow up together. Sometimes we see that some of them are not born again, but they grow up together. And as they slowly grow up, they grow up in the promise of God, and they also have each other's tolerance and forgiveness, and there is no conflicts because they are all the children of God. But just that some are faster, some are slower. Some people, we are not sure whether they are born again. But some people, they love to come to church, but they may not have truly belief. But they come here, but they can receive together with brethren and grow together with brethren, and one day they understand. So when the wheat and the weeds were together, you know, sometimes they are temporary, just pears, but one day they may turn into wheat. So in the church, there will be compassion and concern. So it is the same with siblings. In the family, no matter how siblings are, most importantly, you must find freedom in your heart. You must understand that sometimes your sibling cannot have faith and they cannot understand God's sovereignty, and they cannot understand that God has a perfect will in everything. Then how can you ask your sibling to be happy? How can you tell him you have everything already? Maybe you can comfort him a little bit. You want him to be miserable, but if you want to truly uproot him from his problem, he needs the salvation. So the third main point, let's learn. Let's learn about sibling relationship. So how do we learn sibling relationship? That is by learning through church brethren relationship. So let's look at Mark chapter 3, verse 33 to 35. So sibling relationship wants to talk about church brethren relationship. So Mark chapter 3, verse 33, and Jesus answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." So Jesus' mother and his brothers, they were waiting for him outside, but he seems to be ignoring them. But Jesus knew that he had a main vocation, and that is to serve God. He's not ignoring his family members, but he wanted his family members to understand that his main vocation is to focus on things of heaven. And then verse 35, Jesus said, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." So Jesus emphasized one thing. So sometimes between siblings and when there's family problems, we need not be too focused on that, because what is most important is church brethren relationship. So who is my mother, who is my brother and sister? The Bible also often teaches that although there are sibling relationship or blood ties, what's most important is the relationship that's close by, and that is a church brethren relationship. So Jesus will also not consider his earthly mother as more important than the followers of Jesus. It's not that Jesus disliked his mother, but he's trying to highlight that what is most important is spiritual relationship, relationship that concerns heavenly kingdom. We cannot cut off our flesh and blood ties, but that's because there is a physical body. But this is used to point toward our relationship with our church brethren. So we race together, we live together with church brethren, we mourn together, we rejoice together, and we help each other, because this is about brothers and sisters. But we also need to understand that sometimes when we are focused too much on sibling, or when we are too focused on brethren relationship, it reminds us that it's so hard for us to put down our flesh. So we must turn to look to heaven. And so Jesus told us all this to help us understand that Jesus actually put his worth on the disciples and on the church brethren. And so we must also think in this line, along this line. And why was this beneficial? So church brethren relationship will help us understand sibling relationship. The church brethren relationship will help us understand the true essence of sibling relationship on earth. that is a relationship of mutually taking care of each other. So we need to take care of each other, especially our family members, otherwise we are worse than non-believers. So if we are in the same family and you see your family member is not doing so well, of course you have the obligation to help him. Because even so the beast will not do that, but humans can do that. But of course we need wisdom to do it also. So on earth, God already created and ordained this thing, and so we must submit to God, but we must be able to discern the priorities. God and His kingdom and His church first. So our closest brother and sister. So our Lord Jesus Himself, He had brothers and also sisters. So at least He had two sisters. So brothers, He at least had four brothers. So Jesus' younger brothers, one day they told Jesus, you can just go to Jerusalem. Don't you want to get famous? You just get famous over there. So they are very sarcastic toward Jesus. So they also did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So because they see Jesus as their own blood brother, so they don't consider Jesus as Son of God. So between siblings, they are so intimate, and that's why they have this kind of sentiment. But after that, Jesus resurrected and He appeared, and then during then they believed Jesus, and later on they became important figures in the church. So there'll be those who are slower and faster. So give yourself grace and time, and continue to pray. Second, think of a way that in the short time on earth, sometimes we are too used to our relatives and our siblings, and we didn't think about their spiritual needs. So sometimes we are so used to them and we cannot really do much. Because everyone's grace is up to a level, and you cannot force it. So sometimes we are a bit slow or we give up. So such things exist. But perhaps, on the other hand, the other party may also not want to disappoint you. So they may reject you because he doesn't want to give you more expectation. So sibling relationship, you must not think that it is hopeless. You must continue to pray. But toward Christian siblings, you must also pray for their crowns. But how do you pray? With what? What kind of method can you use to pray? You must carry your own cross to follow the Lord. You have your own cross, your sibling has their own cross. You must not carry their own cross, and they cannot carry your cross. So we must all bear our own cross, and then you walk in your own direction. You grow in your faith, and in your career, you continue to advance. You do whatever God wants you to do. And you receive God's calling. You continue to learn in the church, and you learn about life from one another. And as you continue to carry your own cross, do not just complain, hey, why are you not watching over me? When we talk about the mutual watching over of each other between siblings, it's not demanding the other person to be our keeper, but we must be the keeper of our siblings. So you carry the cross and you follow the Lord because you know the gospel, and you do this. there'll be a lot of situation. Sometimes you remember, in the past used to be so nice, you have fun together, you play together, but now it's no longer like this. So it used to be so fun, you fight, but you also reconcile, but now all these are gone. But we must know. These memories will pass very fast in life. So all the more you must focus on the times and days that we have left. How can we pray for our siblings? How can we tell them about the gospel and the crown? If there can be healing and liberation, because you know their weaknesses the best, so you must be able to point out. But you also know that some things they cannot change so fast. So what you say the things that you know that you must say the things in which you know he can change easily and faster. So whether it's being born again or mutual encouragement, all these are important between siblings. So we are running the race together. And finally, we must, according to the measure of God's, according to the measure of faith God has assigned to each person, compensate one another to survive challenging times. Now, life on earth will not get better and better. It will get more and more terrible. Sometimes you can get some discount, but I see that the economic struggles is getting worse, like the oil prices will continue to rise. So between siblings, according to your own measure of faith, you also look at what kind of, how much faith God has given him. Sometimes you cannot demand too much. But by your own faith, you also will know some can and some cannot. So I would like to read a verse with you. And before that, do you know that Aaron and Moses? Moses was the younger brother of Aaron. Moses is not so eloquent. That's what the Bible told us. So Aaron was the spokesperson on behalf of Moses. So, because Aaron was the priest, and so Moses obeyed God's commands, so Moses made Aaron the best robe for the high priest. So they were helping and making up to each other. So let's read Luke chapter 10. We look at the example of Martha and Mary. So Luke chapter 10 verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So she's the elder sister. So what should the younger sister do? Should help out. Why must Martha ask Jesus to say this? Because Mary was busy trying to receive Jesus' word. And so Jesus was sharing his word. So that's why Martha had to tell Jesus, "Can you please ask my younger sister to help me?" But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So in interpreting the Bible, we cannot just say it's enough to listen to the word of God. You don't have to do anything else. Just sit there and listen to the word of God. It's the best. You just sit there and listen to the word. And then you need not do anything else. We cannot interpret the Bible like this. Of course, it's not like that. But here we can see that in this family is very hospitable. So they have they have some basic financial ability, and so they always receive Jesus to their home. But over here, there's a lot of busyness. So Martha's gift is also in managing the household chores. But Jesus' point is, you can just roughly do the household work. Because I came here to preach. So do not just be busy. You're busy a little while, yes. You roughly serve. But the point is, now I come to this house to give you the teachings. Because Mary may not be just lazy and sitting around, but Mary was very serious in listening to the word of Jesus. And so she kept hearing and deeply pondered, so she couldn't do any other things. So it's not just listening to the word is very important, and we need not do other things, but we have all our church meetings. But what is the most important thing? Whether it's our music, our AV, our praise, it's all for the sake of the teaching of God's word, so that we can worship God and we know what God is saying to us. If you just roughly listen, you realize you go home without receiving much. So if you live long enough in the church, you know this will happen. Sometimes you bring your deep needs before God, and the Lord will speak to you. So you must listen to the word of God, receive objectively, and receive the word God has for you today, and God's perfect will, and when you pray in that way, you will receive it. And this word will become the system of your life. So what is this passage, this scripture trying to say is, everyone is different. Some people, they are like Mary. She can sit there to listen to the word of God intently, and deeply analyze the word of God, and she also loved this, and she's not emotional. So when Lazarus, their brother, died, oh, we see that Mary was more emotional than Martha. So Martha just told Jesus, if you have come earlier, you can save my brother Lazarus. And Jesus said, I'm the Lord of resurrection, life is in me. So we see that these two sisters, they are different. And this is also determined by God, because their personality has been set by God. God has also determined their circumstances and qualities. However much you can receive is also fixed by God. Some people, they say they cannot sit down to receive God's word. They must walk around. So is it after a long time you can sit down and you can focus more? But the point is, not everyone is the same. Some people can do it, some people cannot really do certain things. But it's not that they totally cannot, but it's just that some people can do it more or less. But they all can listen to the word of God, they all can love the word of God. But they have different measure of faith, and their analytical skills are all different. So even the apostles, they are also different in the Bible. But some people, it's because of their measure of faith. Some people, it's because of their personality. Some people, it's based on circumstances. Maybe they have certain background when they are growing up. Maybe they have been in contact with certain training. But no matter what, it's all within God's calling and sovereignty. So in one word, today's message is to tell us, if we truly and deeply confirm in our heart the relationship between us and our siblings, you realize that when you put yourself down, you can be liberated, you can even pray for your sibling, you can even think for the sibling, take care of him or her, and you know what God is trying to do in his life. Just like Martha, it's good that she do more. Maybe she can think about many things as she do, but it's not that Mary cannot do it. Once Mary break a jar of perfume, she was also not aware that she's actually preparing for the burial of Jesus in advance. She didn't use the perfume for the poor. She knows certain things is not viewed in that way. So everyone is different. Everyone's serving. Everyone's role given them by God and the grace they receive from God are different. Actually, we are preparing for another new place for the church. So we have this premises. It's not cheap. So according to the market rate in the renovation market, sound system and the design of the church is not easy. So you will think, so how do you balance this with charity work? But it's not just viewed like this. Sometimes when the church is beautiful, so that you can, everyone can focus more on worshipping the Lord. So to a certain extent, it is also important. So God's perfect will, God's goal, God's intention is sometimes different from us humans. So when we talk about sibling relationship, God has his own plans so that we can have better and more beautiful sibling relationship. As long as we can recognize the perfect will God has in our life. So as we understand more, we must understand that some people, they may not look good, but we must train ourselves to see others as better than ourselves, especially our siblings, our own siblings. Okay, so I'll end the message here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word today. Lord, please help us. We know there's a lot of things concerning family members, even our siblings, but we pray. And understand that we want to understand God, your sovereignty in everything. We also want to receive healing. Many things we thought we didn't receive, but what we need to receive is the most important lesson God you want us to understand, which is to have faith in you. So let us learn this in the church and in our family. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.